It is a joy to have our grandson with us, James. I don't have any sons, as you know. All our sons are daughters, and James is the nearest thing to it. The Lord sent them in a rather marvelous way to us. He's my right-hand man, in charge of the work in the center. He does a bang-up job. I wish we had time to let him tell you of some of the incidents and some of the meetings he has with people, individuals. Some of them are actually hilarious, you know, but it's part of the work. I want you, dear ones, to pray for the work in Buenos Aires. We have, of course, our new building, and I spoke to Brother Saul, about 3 weeks ago, by telephone. His report was glowing, telling us of the new Jewish people that keep coming, the recent baptisms that they've had, and others waiting, and the opportunities for witnessing, because the Jews there are very open. I tell you, well, I know it's true because we were there. And I don't know, was I here with you since I was in South America last year? So I told you about it. But it's just wonderful. So keep praying for that work. That's why I want you to pray that the Lord will send in the funds that the work may be kept going. Now tonight, dear ones, I'm taking a special topic. As a rule, I don't take topical lessons. But actually, this lesson is not topical. I'm sorry, darling. This is as much as I can go owing to my sinus condition. And everything is backed up by the Word of God. Every statement I make. I have titled this Christianity's Most Damaging Lack. Christianity's Most Damaging Lack. If I want you to, we want to keep you guessing for a moment, do you know what it is? What would you say it is? And that goes with all churches and all denominations. What's the greatest lack today in Christian life and work and experience?
Praying.
Well, praying is always pray without ceasing, so that goes. It means something, not praying, not witnessing.
Spirituality,
yes, you're right there, one of them. But rather than just keep you guessing, let me get to it. The fear of God. I want to ask you a question. When was it that you last heard a message, a sermon from the pulpit dedicated entirely to the fear of God? I've been a Christian for over 60 years. If the Lord lets me live until the end of this year, it will be 61 years. I have been in the ministry officially, I say officially, because I was in the ministry unofficially before that. But I have been in the ministry officially since 1929. Let's see, today is 85. What would that be? 56 years? I have never yet heard a message on the fear of God. And that's including me. And I confess my guilt. So I'm trying now, as the Lord gives me life, to atone for it. And you're the first ones I'm trying it out on. If it works with you, it'll work elsewhere. I know that. You know, we as Christians, and in the last 75 or so years, have heard so much about the love of God that we have forgotten there's another side to God. Surely God is love, but he is infinitely more than that. That we know he's love, there's no question. and bumper stickers you read, smile, God loves you. But even when I was at Moody, and Moody is the West Point of Christian service, the best Bible Institute there is. Some of you may dispute it, but go ahead. But it's the best. They used to teach me this, God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Haven't you heard that? And I imagine a number of you believe that. And you've swallowed it, bait, hook, line, cork, sinker, fishbowl, and all. But that is absolutely not true, because you haven't a shred of scripture to prove it, where it says a direct reference. Now, I don't want to go by inference, because inferential preaching to me is poison. But a direct reference that God hates the sin and loves the sinner that keeps committing it. I know you'll come to me with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, there is his greatest love. Gave his only begotten son. Then notice it comes right down to the individual. That whosoever believeth in him, can somebody tell me what the rest says? Go ahead, say it out clearly.
Should not perish.
Should not perish. Reverse that. If he believes not, then what? It does perish. Have you ever examined what the word perish means? You see, God is also a God of judgment, a God of wrath, a God of holiness, a God of justice, a God of truth, a God of righteousness, and God cannot overlook sin. We are definitely told in Scripture, I mean definitely, emphatically, repeatedly. Now, for instance, in Psalm 5:5, where David says, thou hatest. And the word hate there is the same, is the word of the same strength for hate as the word love is for love. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Well, you say, but Brother Glass, that's in the Old Testament. Okay. Is the Old Testament truth or isn't it? When in Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What scripture did he have at that time? He didn't have a shred of the New Testament. All right? Well, you say, the New Testament is different. No, it isn't. John 3, the chapter where verse 16 is. At the end of the chapter, John the Baptist is saying, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but what?
The wrath of God.
Now, how can the wrath of God and the love of God abide in the same person at the same time? That's utterly, logically, theologically, and eternally impossible. And in Romans, well, you know about Romans, the importance of it. I don't think any Christian knows anything about Christianity unless he or she studies and knows and is acquainted with the book of Romans. That is the epistle par excellence in Christian doctrine. He opens the first chapter, for the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You remember that? All right. We have been, you know, Christians, especially Baptists, we believe in eternal security. I do. Because I know it's an eternal salvation. It has never changed. But we've carried it to a degree that sometimes acts as cutting ourselves off the limb. We say, well, I've heard one great preacher, none other, or not, didn't hear him, my grandson did, none other than Charles Stanley, and I admire and I honor and I thank God daily for Brother Charles Stanley. You know who he is. He is a prophet of our day. He made a statement to prove how safe we are, that a Christian can sin 20 times a day. Just tell God he confess and he can be all right. The question is, what kind of a Christian sins 20 times a day? Christian isn't supposed to do that. You see, all this is taught, and it takes away from the fear of God in committing sin. And this has been on my heart of recently. And as I study the book, I find that the fear of God is related to everything in a Christian, and especially to salvation. You may agree with me or disagree with me. The fear of God is basic to salvation. Before the love of God can be experienced, the fear of God has to be expressed. It's no use coming to Christ so that you won't go to hell. If that's the main reason, I'm afraid those that do that, that's where they're going. Of course, no child of God goes to hell or ever will. But that is not the main reason. That's a byproduct why Christ came and died. You never find that Christ himself said that I give my life a ransom for many so that they won't go to hell. That is the logical sequence, of course, or part of the sequence. Ask a number of our Baptists. The reason I say Baptist, because I'm not a Presbyterian. So I'll let somebody else talk to them. But why do you want to be saved? So I can go to heaven. Well, if that's the only reason, I'm afraid you may not get there. And by the way, where does the Bible say that heaven is going to be our eternal abode? If you read the book of Revelation, you'll find it ain't so. But that's beside the point. Surely, if we receive the Lord Jesus from our heart out of fear of God, we'll never see hell, thank God. We'll go to heaven or whatever else God has for us. But that's not the chief reason if you read the New Testament epistles. How many times does Paul mention that we as Christians are going to go to heaven? He may, but if he does, it's very few times. But how many times does he mention that we're to live a heavenly life here on earth? So, I'm just going to give you Bible texts, and if you want to note them down, I'll go slowly, I'll speak clearly enough, and we'll have time for questions. As I said, my topic is Christianity's most damaging lack. What is it? The fear of God. My text as a text, well, this is just a text, is Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. Proverbs 23, 17 and 18.